Hey, everybody, all you beautiful, wonderful insiders, VIPs, thank you for your support. I've got another thing to communicate with you today, and that's about communication. So, hey, I talked about the adjustment reaction in part two, which was for information scouts, VIPs, insiders, everybody who's a paying subscriber. And in there, I talked about it, that it's important to help people who are going through their adjustment reaction. And there was some sort of high-level advice there, which I stand by, which is, you know, don't talk anybody out of their adjustment reactions. And also, in reverse, when somebody's trying to talk you out of your adjustment reaction, now you have a sort of a framing to say, yeah, thanks, but I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I don't care about your discomfort, your snide comments, your other frictiony attempts to get me to not do what I'm doing because it makes you uncomfortable because you don't want to think about this. That's fine. You don't think about it, but I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. Whether you say all that or just change the topic and keep doing what you're doing, up to you. But I want to talk about how to communicate. So this is a really important topic, and a lot of you have asked me about it. So what is my advice for communicating? First, you have to process your own adjustment reaction or your six stages of awareness. Remember, those are the emotional stages, coming out of denial into anger, bargaining, and fear, depression, acceptance, you know. So this piece of advice is actually rooted in this concept that if your emotional charge is fear-based at that moment, right? Which could be totally rational and reasonable, and that's an important thing because fear is a great motivator. Unless it gets you all the way to paralysis, then it's not helpful. You got to get talked back. But fear is okay. Nothing wrong with fear or anxiety or the jolt of adrenaline that comes from that. Bears running at you. Fear is great if it helps you get up that tree faster, right? So nothing wrong with that, except when you're trying to communicate with somebody, if you're in that fear state, and communicating with that resonant energy, or it's just completely obvious, Bob, we're all going to die. We got to do something. When you're in that state, thing is that that other person you're talking to may not be in that state. And if they're not, they're going to resist you bringing them to that state. You know how it is, right? Walking up the street, you're in New York City maybe, or a big metropolitan area, and some person comes up and they're just like giving you angry stuff, right? You know, just some random person shows up. The first thing you're going to do is resist all of that, right? So unless you're already in an angry state, maybe you are, maybe you're in a mob, a lot of angry people, angry person comes up, no resistance because you're in the same energetic state. You're in the same emotional landscape. So the first thing you do when you want to communicate with people is make sure that you've cleared out your emotional state. And anger was an easy one to focus on, but it could be, let's say I'm in a complete position of acceptance. I approach somebody, they're in a fear state about what's happening in the world. And I'm just like, oh yeah, it is what it is. What you want to be able to do is meet the people where they are, because as humans, whenever, wherever we happen to be, if somebody is trying to subtly or overtly take us to a different place from that, that's tricky business, often not successful. So the first thing to do is make sure you're clear about which emotional state you're in and clear it out. And I'm not saying become neutral and bland and boring. You can still be very passionate, but not be communicating depression, anxiety, fear, all that stuff, right? So the first step of communicating with people is do your own processing first. Do what you can to be coming from as non-threatening isn't the quite word. It's non-demanding. Because when I'm in an emotional state, I could be full of glee. I'm really high with glee. And I come up to somebody who's just not there. They're in a depressed state. They are going to resist my glee as attempting to drag them from somewhere other than they are. So the first thing is just make sure that you're not making an emotional request on some level that doesn't need to be made, because unless you accidentally magically match that emotional tenor of that other person, you're going to be met with resistance. And it's just a normal thing. I know you've experienced it. I experience it when somebody's making that request overtly, covertly for us to join them in their emotional state. That's something that's intuitively, instinctively resisted. Consciously, we might be able to override it, right? Like, you know, I'm a little low right now and this person seems very happy. I will join them, you know, to the best of my ability. You can, of course, you can do that. But It's really critical to clear out what you got before you start talking with friends, families, colleagues, neighbors. Just that's part one. All right, so you've done that. just make sure you don't have that agenda, right? You just keep that as clear as possible. Now, how do you do that? How do you become emotionally neutral? You know what? You process this stuff on your own. If you need to scream into a pillow for a while, if you need to endlessly talk through, you know, this loop of depression you go into, or figure out what you're going to do about, you know, how do you get out of the bargaining loop, right? And by the way, I have a basement half full of bargaining. That's right. Like, if I just buy this water filter on some level, will I be okay then, right? So whatever that story is, just do the work you need to do. And I highly advise and this is where peak prosperity comes in, is you do this processing with other people who are also doing their processing, and they're doing it consciously. They've said, I understand these stages. I want to get through them for my own part, because I want to make sure the amplitude of my response over time, as I cycle through these emotions, I can start to control that. I want to make sure that I've got my cortex turned on. I'm not operating from the amygdala, the emotion centers. That's why you need a group of people. This is where a group of people is highly, highly important. That's why this community at Peak Prosperity is so valuable, because you can find people who've gone through this cycle, and they're very, very good at listening and advising and just being there as a pair of ears as you go through your cycles of processing. But most importantly, once you've gone through these cycles of emotional processing, you can have compassion for where the other person is. And so you'll just have less judgment around these things. Okay. If you are communicating with someone, you feel like you're pretty neutral and you're doing your best job, you're using good words, you're not making any emotional requests, and you approach them and they're still, something's off, you want to watch for those signs that they aren't yet ready. And you got to back off the second they say they're not ready, because any continued attempts after somebody says no, and this is what not ready can look like, right? It can look like a lot of things. You bring it up, they deflect, you know, to a side topic. Whatever the topic, you know, if there isn't, you know what they are, they're sort of the buy signs in a conversation that somebody says, I want to, you know, let's carry this on. And by the way, it doesn't mean it's a failure if that happens. The question is, did this show up in the first sentence, or did it show up in the third sentence? If it showed up in the third sentence, that's progress, because you got through one and two. Next time you talk to them after they've had a chance to sleep on it, integrate it, be curious, whatever the process is to get the head and the heart aligned in these matters, then maybe next time you talk to them, you can get to five sentences deep or eight, you know, and that's the progress in this. So just the advice here is to just communicate with somebody until you notice the squirmy discomfort, the something that's, you want to stop before they get to the hard stop. Because once they get to the hard stop, that conversation is now closed and future conversations are foreclosed. You're out of the game. Never get to the hard stop. You want to make sure as soon as you detect the discomfort, and it could be as simple as losing their eye line. It could be body language things like the crossed arms. It could be some sort of, like, you know, discomfort showing up in the head scratch, or it could be verbal. But whatever it is, just make sure, you know, you have that conversation to the point where the other person begins to check out. Right? Hey, sis, you know, I got this deep pantry and I'm doing it because have you seen the trucker thing down in Brazil? And she's like, oh, you know, we had a really wonderful Thanksgiving with a lot of food, trying to make the connection, but you can feel the discomfort, right? And like, whoop, gone. But trust me, if you stop before you get to the hard no, that thing is rattling around. It's still an open line of communication. So just be careful there. Let's see. How about this one? Hey, guess what? When it comes to my own sister, I'm not her trusted source anyway. So you may not be the trusted source for somebody that you really feel like you ought to be. It could be your husband or your wife. It could be your parents. It could be your kids. Somebody that really matters to you, you really love. It could be extended family members. It might be your neighbors, colleagues, friends, coworkers. It doesn't matter. you may not be their trusted source. Unfortunately, for a lot of people, their trusted source is the New York Times or, you know, some major, some big external body who doesn't have their best interests in heart, and they don't know that, but still it's their trusted source. So you got to just be open for that idea that, like, you know what, I may not be this person's trusted source. Now, that's the downside. What's the upside? Find out who their trusted source actually is. So let's say this is somebody close, you really love them, you care about them, you know it's the New York Times. Just be on the lookout for something that eventually comes up in the New York Times, or you can feed it to them. So if it's mainstream media, I don't know if you saw, but it was a couple weeks ago, Bloomberg ran a piece on suburban moms who are starting gardens because they're worried about food insecurity, and they sort of like, tongue-in-cheek, you know, but you can feel the growing discomfort with the idea that suburban moms are now bailing on the idea that food security is like a given, and they've started gardens, right? So that would be a great moment to say, oh, to this person I know who I would really like to open this conversation with, they won't hear it from me, but they will hear it from the mainstream media. You forward them that article and maybe even minimize it to give them the opportunity to come to the rescue of it. Like, ha ha ha, I can't believe Bloomberg's fallen down this rabbit hole. And then they'll come back and go, no, I think there's some good points about that. And you're like, really? Let them talk you into it, right? So that's what happens when you're not somebody's trusted source. Finally, just, you know what? Be patient. Every time you talk with somebody, you're actually planting seeds. It's that thing, if you haven't closed the conversation, if they haven't gotten to that where they slam the door shut, in which case you're out and everything you said is lost territory. What you want to do is just plant the seed, because that'll be rattling around, particularly if it comes with curiosity. Instead of saying, wow, these massive protests that just happened in Brazil show da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Curiosity is, you know, I wonder what these massive protests in Brazil are telling us something else that we haven't quite thought through. That's an open question. You plant that with somebody, it will be rattling around in their brain differently than if you give a declarative conclusion. So plant the seeds, plant them over again, over and over. It's all you can do, but be ready when they come back. All right. And again, we don't gloat. We don't fish around for apologies. We don't do any of that stuff. You know, that person who resisted you and called you a dangerous conspiracy nut for having stored dried food comes back and says, where's a good stored dried food place? You just start right there and you have a great conversation going forward. Okay. That's the best way to go forward with that. Let's see. That's it. I've hit the end of my list. So thanks for listening. This is a really, I love this topic, because it's not what you say. It's also how you say it. And this is the stuff that I've gleaned over the years that helps me communicate and communicate reasonably effectively with people. But guess what? I've learned I can't reach everybody. I just can't. Just how it is. So, you know, what do you do when you can't reach everybody? Well, you just say that's it. That's how it is. But we'll be able to reach more and more people. And this is the basic framework for being able to do it more effectively. So with that, hey, thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Let's talk about this. I'm very passionate about this subject. So I'm open to any and all ideas, and we learn from each other. So the successes, the failures, the good, the bad, the ugly, what's gone right for you, what hasn't gone right. I'd love to hear the stories, and so would everyone else. All right. We'll be back with you soon, and I'll be down in the comments chatting about this one for sure. All right. Bye-bye.